Good morning. How lovely it is to be all together in God's house. I've got some photos on the screen to show you, one by one, the six of them. And I just wonder if you recognize any of these people. First one.
Oh, my God.
Wow, yeah, that's quick. The second one. Nobody? Who? No, it's Kate. It's Kate Winslet.
It's Kate Winslet.
I think you might get this one. Yes, yes. David Walliams. Fourth one's easy as well, I think. There was lots of people in Love Actually. Yeah, June's got it. It's Hugh Grant. Fifth one. Who's that? I bet when I say the name, you'll recognise her straight away. It's Cheryl.
Cheryl Cole.
And the last one. Who? No, it's not Joe.
It looks like that picture.
If I said you're fired, would you get it? Yeah. Yeah. It does a wee bit. Remember, he's very old now. Right. Recognizing people. Has anyone been to a school reunion and found that initially it was difficult to recognize old schoolmates? I went to my first school reunion in 2009, making it 45 years since I'd seen many of the folk. At first, I simply couldn't recognize everyone. But then slowly, as if years had melted away, I could see my old classmates. And really, although the passing years had changed each one of us a bit, as it does, basically, we were all the same people that we had been all those years ago. Our recognition of each other went further than simply the visual. We recognized the quintessence of each person, their spirit, their core, their heart, their fundamental nature. Our lectionary readings for today contain different descriptions of who Jesus is. The first one is Jeremiah 23:5-6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the world. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. The second reading's from Colossians 1:15-20, and I'm wondering if Susan would read that out for us.
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Thank you, Susan. An anonymous writer said, Jesus Christ, the meeting place of eternity and time, the blending of deity and humanity, the junction of heaven and earth. This is who Jesus is. But I wonder, do we fully recognize who Jesus is? Sometimes it can happen that we're totally familiar with something and have been so for a very, very long time. We somehow stop seeing it, like the view out of our kitchen window, or the wallpaper in our living room, or that picture in the hall. We know these things are there and that we like them, but we have stopped really seeing them. I guess it's sort of things becoming part of the furniture, of somehow taking things for granted. Our familiarity with Jesus and our knowledge of who he is and what he has done and what he means to us somehow fades. So do we still fully recognize who Jesus is? A kindergarten teacher was walking around her classroom while her students drew pictures. One little girl was scribbling so intently that the teacher asked what she was drawing. The little girl replied, "I'm drawing a picture of Jesus." The teacher said, "Oh, honey, nobody really knows for sure what Jesus looked like." The little girl, without missing a beat, responded, "They will in a minute." And it was the day after Christmas at a church in San Francisco. The pastor of the church was looking over the cradle when he noticed the baby Jesus was missing from among the figures. Immediately he turned and went outside to look and saw a little boy with a red wagon. And in the wagon was the picture of the little infant Jesus. He walked up to the boy and said, "Well, where did you get him from, my fine friend?" The little boy replied, "I got him from the church." "And why did you take him?" The boy said, "Well, about a week before Christmas, I prayed to the little Lord Jesus and told him that if he would bring me a red wagon for Christmas, I would give him a ride around the block in it." Two Sundays ago, Jim was reminding us that although God is our loving Father, he is holy and is the Almighty One, not our mate. Yes, God is with us. Yes, he is always beside us, but he is always above us. In the same way, Jesus is our friend, our brother, but he is also the image of the invisible God. For in him all things were created, Christ the King. Whilst we are privileged to have a close and intimate relationship with Jesus, we should always remain in awe. He is above us and beyond us. He is to be held in reverence. He is our Lord, our King. How fortunate we are to be able to have a relationship with someone in such a place of authority. How humbling to know that Christ the King knows us personally and cares for us. To use a picture of the royal family, King Charles is their father or husband or brother, but they have to bow to him, showing their respect for his position. He is both their king and their father, brother, or husband. Likewise, Jesus is our king, our brother. On the one hand, we can enjoy our personal relationship with him, but never forget that he is heavenly royalty. The readings from Jeremiah and Colossians describe some facets of the person of Jesus and who he is. Illustrating that, the writers recognize Jesus and all that he is. Someone far more lowly than the prophet Jeremiah or the apostle Paul also recognized who Jesus was. And we read about him in Luke 23:33-43, which I've asked Kevin to read for us.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Thank you, Kevin. So how do we see Jesus today? Do we recognize Christ the King in all his fullness and all he has done and still does for us? John Donne said his birth and death were but one continual act, and his Christmas Day and his Good Friday are but the evening and morning of one and the same day. As we're fast approaching Advent, it would seem a good time for us to focus and perhaps refocus on Jesus, to see him in all his majesty, not just Jesus the baby, nor just on Jesus' ministry on earth, nor just on his great sacrifice, but on Jesus, our righteous Saviour, Jesus as King, the image of the invisible God, in whom all things were created, the head of the body, the church, Christ the Supreme. We read in the Bible about those who recognized Jesus and those who didn't. A man possessed by many demons recognized him and said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" John the Baptist, before he was born, and Simeon and Anna, when Jesus was still a baby, recognized who he was. Why did Anna and Simeon recognize Jesus? I think it was because they knew Scripture. They were totally devoted to God and tuned in to God's voice and guidance. But the holy men of the day, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't recognize who Jesus was. The disciples didn't seem to fully recognize who Jesus was. The two men walking to Emmaus on the day of resurrection didn't recognize Jesus. Why did they not recognize who Jesus was? Perhaps the scriptures of the time did not give an exact picture of the future Messiah, so they did not know what to look for. And also, perhaps, they were not fully tuned in to God's voice and guidance. They missed him. I found this in a book. They missed him. They were looking for a lion. He came as a lamb, and they missed him. They were looking for a warrior. He came as a peacemaker, and they missed him. They were looking for a king. He came as a servant, and they missed him. They were looking for a liberator from Rome. He submitted to the Roman stake, and they missed him. They were looking for a fit for their mold. He was the mold breaker, and they missed him. Returning to the thief on the cross, he may have initially joined in with all the others when they were mocking Jesus, but something happened to change that. We do not know why precisely, but it was either to do with him witnessing Jesus and his actions and words during the 6 hours of crucifixion, or he had some previous knowledge of Jesus and his ministry. The thief acknowledged God, knew right from wrong, and that he and the other thief were being punished appropriately. He knew that Jesus was innocent. And most significantly, he knew that Jesus was a king who would come into his kingdom, and also seemed to understand that Jesus could grant him forgiveness and had the ability to grant him a future even after his death. Of course, we know that this last-minute faith led Jesus to tell him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Whether the thief had some previous knowledge or experience of Jesus, we cannot know. But what we can see is that he was, in some way, tuned in to God's voice and guidance. In our recognition of Jesus in all his fullness, we see his fundamental nature, as I could recognize the fundamental nature of my old classmates. Jesus' fundamental nature is as the image of the invisible God, as we read in Colossians 1:15. A.D. Gordon puts it this way: Jesus is God spelling himself out in language that man can understand. In our recognition of Jesus, in all his fullness, we see the Saviour, as we read in Colossians. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The cross was an excruciating, mind-numbing torment. Yet in the midst of this, Jesus could forgive those who were crucifying him, pray for others, provide for the care of his mother, and minister forgiveness to a thief being crucified alongside him. According to Luke, not only the centurion, but the crowds too were deeply moved by what they witnessed and went home beating their breast. What a savior. Jesus' horrifying death has rescued us. Recognizing Jesus is not just a physical recognition. The men walking to Emmaus did not recognize him. It is not based on just knowing the facts about Jesus. The disciples knew all about Jesus, but didn't fully understand who Jesus was. Whether we today are recognizing Jesus for the very first time, like the thief, or are refocusing the full recognition we once had, or are simply rededicating our devotion to him, we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see the complete picture of Jesus. That Jesus, God's unique Son, came in human form, died but is risen, is Lord, ruler of all creation, who intercedes for us, has promised he will never leave us, and is preparing a heavenly place for us, and who will return. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you this morning with hearts full of thanks for your Son, Jesus, and the terrible sacrifice he made to save us. We thank you for your goodness to us in sending him to be our Savior and our Rescuer. But we also ask today, Lord, that you would assist us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be able to see the fullness of Jesus, to see him in his completeness. Whether we are seeing the full picture of Jesus for the very first time, or are refocusing the full recognition we once had of him, or are simply rededicating our devotion to him, we ask that you would open our eyes to the full wonder of who Jesus is. As we approach Advent, we especially ask to be able to see beyond the stable and understand that Jesus stretches from creation to revelation. And although he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is at the same time our friend and brother. Things too marvelous for us to fully grasp. But help us, Father, to see and understand more of Jesus than we did, and that in doing so, we can serve you more effectively. That, Lord, as we see more and understand more of Jesus, as you reveal him to us, we ask that people would recognize the Jesus in us. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor, and we ask everything in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.